So as ever, the Isle of Man TT, well, it's unpredictable, and we're honoured to be joined by Murray Walker. Murray, that's motorsport.
Well, I feel so sorry for John McGuinness, because he was on for an absolutely certain win and another brilliant ride. But I feel even sorrier, to be honest, for Guy Martin, because he really deserves a higher place than he's had in the past, and he was in the running for it. And how incredible that two top riders should go out with the same problem. And Guy Martin's chain came off before my very eyes. I don't know whether it was a mechanic problem or a chain problem or a wheel replacement problem, but it was curtains for Guy. And I've just been at Bray Hill for the first time in my life in all the years I've been coming here, and I've heard about it, and it's absolutely mind-blowing experience. I'm still on a colossal high.
It's great, Dan. I mean, nobody can paint that picture for you, can you? You need to go down there and you need to stand there yourself and see it.
No, I mean, you would not believe that human reflexes could react quickly enough to cope with the change of direction they have at the top of the hill. And when you think they're coming past the grandstand at about 175 miles an hour and still accelerating, I can only find two words for it, which I've already used, and those are mind-blowing.
Murray, as sort of the lap speeds around here, we're now talking about 130 plus miles an hour, and we're not just talking about it from the fastest boy, we're talking about it throughout the field now.
Yeah, well, I saw Jimmy Simpson do the first 60 mile an hour lap, I saw Jimmy Simpson do the first 70 mile an hour lap, I saw Jimmy Simpson do the first 80 mile an hour lap, I saw Harold Daniel do the first 90 mile an hour lap, I saw Bob McIntyre do the first official 100 mile an hour lap, although I believe that Jeff Duke did it earlier. I didn't see the first 110 and 120, but I was here in 2007 to see McGuinness do 130, and now that's been broken. It really is incredible.
Yes, just say, Murray, of course, if John McGuinness had kept going, he would have won five seniors in a row, equal the great Mike Harewood and Agostini. I mean, of all-time greats, who for you, it's very difficult to compare riders from different eras, but who would you say was the greatest to ever ridden round this course?
Well, Stanley Woods has to be one of them, because Stanley won 10 Grand Prix before the war, and I think it was more demanding in many ways than it is now. And you have to bear in mind that there's so many more riders nowadays. The roads are better, the machines are a lot more reliable, there are more races. When I was coming over here before the war, it was the Monday, Wednesday and Friday races, and there were just the three of them. So it's now a lot easier for riders to rack up a lot of wins. I'm not saying that disparagingly. They are still absolute supermen. But to me, the greatest of all time, probably because he was a friend of mine, because I had the privilege of talking about so many of his races, was the immortal Mike Harewood. And when you remember that he came back 12 years later and won, and then won again the next year, it's scarcely believable.
Yes, that's right. It's 30 years ago since Mike Harewood last rode here. Don't the years roll by so quickly?
Yeah, I know. And it's a bit of a cliche to say he's sadly missed, but he really is sadly missed. And the most exciting race I've ever seen in my life of any kind whatsoever was the Diamond Jubilee in 1967, when Mike on the four-cylinder Honda and Agostini on the three-cylinder MV, both of them son of multi-millionaires, great rivals and great friends, battled out throughout the race. And then there was that incredible pit stop at the end of the third lap. And then Agostini went out with, surprise, surprise, broken chain.
That's right.
Same as today.
Yes, on the fifth lap.
And I was also in the commentary box when Reg Armstrong won the senior TT, and as he crossed the line, his chain broke. So it's still obviously an Achilles heel.
Yes, as it's shown obviously today, as you say, with the two riders going out. But although John McGuinness has gone out, it looks like Steve Plater, if he keeps going, could be on a win for HM Plant Honda. So Honda securing the senior in their 50th anniversary,
yeah,
possibly,
Murray.
Am I
right in saying that it's only Steve Plater's third year at the TT?
That's right, only his third year.
Well, that's amazing, because it used to take years and years to learn the course. And he's obviously mastered it. I remember he was very good in his first year, and he was terrific in his second year, and he's sensational in his third year. So what's he going to be like next year?
Absolutely, if he comes back next year.
Yeah.
Anyway, thanks very much,
You're
Murray.
Very welcome. Bye now.
Murray, finally, I've got to ask you, you've seen pit lanes all over the world. You've been to the very best circuits. You've been to the smallest circuits. What about this place?
Well, again, I keep on talking about the old times and in my day and all the rest of it, but they used to stop on the actual Glen Clatchery Road with the pits on their left. Now they stop with the pits on their right, and it's very sensible that they should stop and put their foot down, because it obviates the possibility of any real danger and any crashes. Tremendously slick. Everything is so much better organized, better administered, better machinery, better tires. The riders aren't any better, though. They're just riding in a different generation.
Well, thank you very much for joining us on Energy FM. It's been a real honour. Thank you very much to Murray Walker.
Murray.
And while that's all been going on, I can tell you through Ramsey Hairpin on lap 5, Steve Plater leads Connor Cummings by an increased margin of 15.6 seconds. Ian Hutchinson a further 30 seconds further back, Simon.